Okay, it's the 20th day of September 2020, the year of our Lord. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, gather together with His people, to worship and praise Him, to preach the gospel. And I will remind you that if you ever have any doubt or any questions about what I'm preaching, don't hesitate to ask after service, please. I have had people to try that during service, and that's not good. Wait till after, but nothing I love better than discussing it or trying to explain more clearly what I have preached to you. It's always a good thing to do. And I always love talking to people that like to talk about the Scriptures. Mark Roberts is one. I enjoy talking to him because he always wants to talk something about the Scriptures. And especially those people that's borderline on election and justification and imputation. Those doctrines that we hold dear, salvation, all the things about the Scriptures are important. There are some things that need to be taught as many times and as often as we have opportunity. There's a... We're going to turn to 2 Thessalonians. We finished the first chapter last week. Everything was by grace. To whomsoever the Lord wills there in Titus 3, 4, and 7. I think we got to that one. I didn't go back and listen to the thing, but I didn't mark which scripture that we finished up on there, but the Scripture says there in Titus 3, 4 through 7, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's what it's all about. That's everything in the Scriptures. From the creation of Adam and Eve, and everything between there and now until the end of time, that's what it's all about. It was by grace, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And just so that you don't think that that's such, and it is a sure thing. It is guaranteed to all His people. But it does not mean that we're not to pray for it. We are still to pray for God's grace on us and still pray for eternal life, everlasting life with the Lord Jesus, always, every day. We ought not to forget that. And do like a lot of these modern day folks and think that because they accepted Jesus and came low in the aisle that they don't have to pray for that anymore. The Bible is very clear about praying for eternal life and the grace of God in our lives. Now, I was recollecting this week about John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And it was by, if you've read it, and I hope you all have read Pilgrim's Progress and read it often. I was trying to remember where I heard that. I don't remember if it was on a... It was on a cowboy show, cowboy movie, that subject came up about Pilgrim's Progress. And the cowboy remembered as a kid having to read Pilgrim's Progress in school. And what a wonderful story it was. And it was by grace that God drove Christian from the city of destruction and caused him to see that it was a city of destruction and drove him from it. Left his wife, left his children. There was nothing more important than getting out of that city that was going to be destroyed with hellfire and brimstone and seeking eternal life, getting that heavy burden off of his back. And so he set out on his way, and them calling him crazy. But you see, when God calls you by his grace, you're headed that way. You're going to go. Doesn't matter who, what, where, when. It was by grace that God calls all of his people throughout time, just like he did with Christian in the book of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And so it is, has been forever, been the same way. Now in 2 Thessalonians, the apostle here, talking about the sudden coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians, and that we are to pray for the quick return of our Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, make sure that they understand that there were some things that had to take place before the Lord was going to return and not to be upset about it. Now, let's read a little bit here, because from verse 1 through verse 12, you could take it verse by verse, and we will, little at the time, but we've been over this before, but you get a clearer understanding of what he's saying if you read verses 1 through 12 and kind of explain what he's talking about there in verses 3 and then on over there in verses 6 and 7 and 8, you kind of get a clearer understanding if you read the whole thing. So let's read it. Verses, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth... you remember there was somebody else called the son of perdition. Judas was called, and no, Judas is not coming back from the dead. He's talking about the Antichrist here. He's talking about, well, we won't say that yet. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hindereth will hinder or let, according to our King James Version, until he be taken out of the way. That word let does not mean today what it did then. When they wrote this, it means hinder or withhold. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, our God, how we thank thee for this wonderful scripture, these wonderful words of God that enlighten us to the truth of the returning and the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Have mercy upon us now, and let us bring you glory today as we try to feed your sheep. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you today will feed your sheep, use your servant for your honor and your glory, and to be beneficial to your sheep this day. Help all those that may hear via sermon audio. And it goes all over the world. Help us now, Lord. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He's letting them know, don't fret yourself because the Lord hadn't returned. And that there's already false prophets out there that saying that the Lord has returned. The resurrection has already happened. Hymenaeus and Philetus. And he said, it's just not so. So don't concern yourself and don't get fret because the Lord hadn't returned yet. Because there's some things that's got to happen first. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So before the Lord comes the second time, he's telling them that this has to be done. There come a falling away of the doctrines of the gospel, of all the doctrines that we preach here at Zion and many other churches preach, not preached by the modern day Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals, not preached by them, but for those sovereign grace churches all over the world, all over the United States, a few here and a few there, don't be concerned about that either. It's always been that way. It was that way during the Reformation. It's by the grace of God that the Reformation took place, which put an end to Roman Catholicism as the way it was before, where they had control of the world. And that's what he's talking about here. What happens over there in verses 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and the rest of the chapter there, this man of sin must be revealed, but there's some things that has to take place before he is revealed, and one, there come a falling away. Because if there comes a falling away of the doctrines of the gospel, of the doctrines of the scriptures, according to how they were preached by Christ and the apostles, then it may set up this Antichrist so that people will be deceived by him because he'll be able to do so-called miracles which it says here, but he's really not doing miracles. He's deceiving the people in thinking that he's doing miracles. And they will follow him. They will worship him. And what was letting or being hindered, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. There's something in the way that's keeping him from being revealed right now, the apostle says. And you know what that is because I've already been there and told you. Now, he doesn't tell you here in the Scriptures exactly what that is, but he told them in person when he was with them at Thessalonica. But we know now from history exactly what that was. That was the Roman Empire, the pagan Roman Empire that ruled the world. And that was withholding or hindering the Pope from taking power of the world and the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had to be destroyed, split up, which it was. You read your history if you hadn't read it and don't know it. The Roman Empire was divided. The Muslims took over, the western part, and the Turks took over the other part, or one of those groups that took over. And that opened the way to let the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope begin to take power so that he decided who the next emperor would be. He decided what would happen, where, when, and how. And Constantine was part of that. And that's what he's saying here. Let no man deceive you by any means, that they shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, he's been revealed. We're not waiting for that anymore. It was the Pope. And not just one Pope, all of them. All the cardinals, all the bishops, all the everything they've got. All their pagan worship, their idolatry, their worship of idols, or statues or whatever you want to call it, the worship of Mary, the worship of angels, the worship of dead things past, they just destroyed everything that the apostles and the Lord Jesus preached, and they put their own doctrines man-made out there and deceived the people by their power. That's what he says there. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And that was that the Roman Empire had to fall. And it did. And when it did, the popes took over, one following another. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Meaning the Roman Empire, the emperors. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now that was dead by the Reformation, because they took over when the Roman Empire divided and then fell to these wild, crazy religious groups, and it fell. And then this man of sin was revealed. It was very plain and clear. And the Lord will destroy him, and did destroy him as far as his power prior to that for all those hundreds of years with the Reformation, with Martin Luther nailing that to the church doors, so that people understand he, Martin Luther, as a Roman Catholic, finally understood what Romans was talking about, that you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And he began to preach and teach and write such things. And it spread like wildfire. Coming back to what Christ taught and what the apostles taught. And it's important to understand that so that we're not concerned about it or overly concerned about it. We continue to pray for the quick return of the Lord Jesus. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. And when the Lord Jesus comes, he will finally and completely be destroyed and cast into the lake that burneth with fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He will be thrown in there with Satan, this Antichrist. And that's exactly what the Pope is. He's Antichrist. They're not preaching the gospel according to Christ and the apostles. They don't even want their people reading about it. It's like modern day churches today. Kenneth Copeland following the Pope. And most all these other modern day churches, they're following the Pope. Changing the gospel from what the Lord Jesus preached and the apostles preached. They don't even want people to read about election and choosing. Well, I got news for them. Go read Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 8, and Romans chapter 9. Read Romans chapter 9 over and over and over until the lights come on. And it clicks in your brain and in your heart. It is God that decides who will be saved, and he decided that before the beginning of time in eternity past when he gave his bride to his son and told him, here they are. Here's the ones you're going to save. Here's the ones you're going to die for. Here's the ones you're going to shed your blood for. Here's the ones that you're going to become human flesh for. It is these. And he'll be destroyed by the brightness of the Lord Jesus coming. Even him, talking about the Pope, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And that's still what he does. Deceiving people. And that's what it says here. With all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, this false doctrine that come about, it tells you right there, in this same set of scriptures that we just read, why it was allowed to come about. It was sort of like the Syrians that came down and destroyed the northern 10 tribes of Israel with their chariots when they rode through the cities with those staves and sharp edges on the wheels of their chariots that hacked people into pieces as they drove through the streets and people running for their lives, and it cut them to bits. And they went in the houses and grabbed the pregnant women, ripped open their bellies, snatched out the unborn, and bashed his brains out against the walls of the house. And God said, he is my servant. He's doing my will. These people adulterated on the gospel of God. And their sins have been fulfilled. And now they're fixing to be destroyed, and he destroyed them. Using Assyria to do it. Go read it. You can read it for yourself. In Matthew 24, it says in verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." That has not changed. It happened then. It happened during the Roman Empire. During the Roman Empire too. They hated Christian people. And during the Roman Catholic rule and reign of the world, it happened then. They hated Christian people. I'm talking about real Christian people who loved the gospel and would not be turned from it. No matter what they preached and what they said had to be. It's sort of like our governor telling us that we have to wear a mask everywhere we go. Made a mandate of it. That you have to. That's the reason I emailed him and told him, wait a minute. You've got these businesses under your thumb because you fixed it. The Senate and the representatives of the state of Mississippi and in our federal government also fixed it with laws on the books so that you could not open a business unless you had a license from the state. Even barbers have a license from the state to be able to cut your hair. Not guys. Anybody can cut his. You don't have to have license to cut guys' hair. But everything's that way. Electricians, carpenters, everybody has to have a license. Contractors have to have a license. And if you don't do like the state tells you to do, they can withdraw your license and put you out of business. Poor Larry Kraft down there, the law came up into his place of business and told him, if you don't wear a face mask and require your people do, we'll pull your license and put you out of business. A barber. So I had to email the governor and tell him, you can take your mandate, and you know what you can do with it. Because free Mississippians and free Smith Countyans do not pay any attention to your mandate. We are free citizens of Smith County. We are free citizens of the state of Mississippi, and you, Mr. Governor, nor anybody else can tell us what we have to wear and what we can't. There used to be a time when indecent exposure was against the law. And I did notice and find out that the mayor of Laurel made sure that his town enforced the law of indecent exposure. That only is talking about the people who wear their breeches so low that their butt's showing and their underwear's showing, and them trying to hold their breeches up from falling to their ankles with one hand and hold their cell phone with the other hand and walk at the same time. They can't chew gum and walk, but they can hold their breeches up and talk on the phone while they walk. So he mandated or made a law or made sure that his people understood that that law would be enforced. But you can go to Walmart and see indecent exposure. So you see where not keeping the scriptures and not abiding by a standard, you've got to have a standard. And if it's not going to be the Holy Scriptures as your standard, like it used to be in these United States, the Holy Scriptures were our standard. It was our law. When the judge walked into a courtroom, he toted the scriptures because that was our law. That's what we lived by. That's what we enforced on other people, that they lived by the scriptures. You couldn't walk around naked or with clothes on that revealed everything. And now they've got it legal in some states and some cities where that you can walk around buck naked as long as you've got tattoos or painted up so that it appears that you got on clothes. It's legal. What a shame. The Lord Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. They'll deliver us up and shall kill you. There's a song. What's the name of that song? We heard it this morning on the Bluegrass Station on Sunday mornings. They play all gospel music. The House of Gold. Said, I'd rather be in a deep, dark grave than deny my God and lose my soul. That's Christian people. They'd rather be in a deep, dark grave than deny their God and anything that He commands and teaches than they had denied and lose their soul. They will not do it. And people will hate you for it, and they will till the end of time, so you might as well look for it, count on it. But that does not stop us from preaching the gospel, no matter who says what. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Verse 10 there in 24 in Matthew. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. But, well, my goodness. Anybody that's not preaching the Scriptures the way the Lord Jesus and the apostles did, including election, the chosen ones, atonement, imputation of the righteousness of Christ, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, are false prophets, false preachers, and false teachers. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I mean the love of many for their own children. The love of many for all mankind. We are to love everybody. I believe it was Goofy Grayson, Jr. told me, you yes. Say, if you don't love Harold Bynum, you don't love God. Was that not Goofy? Oh, it wasn't. Well, somebody used to say that. And I don't know if you know Harold, but he was a whistle. But I'll say the same thing. If you don't love your worst enemy and pray for them, you don't love God. That's the truth. That's Scripture. Didn't say you had to like them. Didn't say you had to help them other than if they were thirsty, give them water. If they were hungry, feed them. If they were cold, give them something to cover themselves with. That's about the amount of helping your enemies. But to love them and to pray for them, pray for their souls. And we know that the greatest part, by far, of these days, people are going to hell. That does not have anything to do with us praying for their souls. Because some of them, the most pathetic of them, are the elect of God. And they will come to the doctrines of grace. They will come to the Lord Jesus before they die. He will see to it. He died for them. The love of many will wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's good stuff. You don't even have to preach that. You just read it. He that endureth until the end shall be saved. Well, the preacher, is that a condition that you have to endure to the end to be saved? No, that's a fact that if you're saved, you will endure until the end. You will keep His commandments. You will read every day. You will hunger and thirst after righteousness. You will want to know more about the Lord Jesus. You will want to know more about His Word so that you can be obedient, children. You can understand how the love of God is for His people. His love was so great for us, and is, always has been, always will be, it never changes. He said, I change not. There's no shadow of turning in God. God the Father, Son, or Holy Ghost. And the love that He had for His people was such that He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, made a covenant with Him that you will go and I'll make you a body. And you'll suffer. You'll be rejected by me. All of them will turn on you. They will forsake you. They'll nail you to a cross. You will bleed and die for your people that they might have eternal life. That kind of love ought to constrain us to be obedient to our God. That kind of love for us ought to constrain us to want to know more about Him, who He is, and His great love that He had for His people. And the great love that the Son had for His people when He died on the cross and when He lived, healing thousands, feeding thousands. And the love that He had for His Father. He's loved us from eternity past. And He loved His Father from eternity past because He always has been. Always will be. Whew. I remember when He was in the garden and He prayed. When He was with His Peter and James. And He told them, wait here while I go and pray. And He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It was going to be a terrible, terrible death. And He was going to die on the cross. And He prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But it was not possible. And He bowed to the command of God, the Father. He was willing and glad to suffer that suffering for His people and to be obedient to His Father and the covenant that He made with His Father. What good stuff. That ought to constrain us to be obedient servants to our God and rather be in a deep, dark grave than ever deny Him or fail to keep His commandments. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. He's talking about when the Romans were going to come and destroy Jerusalem. And he did. And he drove his people out before they destroyed it. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, because they could only travel so far on the Sabbath day. What he's telling them is, when I tell you to get, you better get, because the Romans is at the door, and you better go. And they did. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You see, this is kind of intertwined with the second coming of Christ and the end of Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem. Some of us talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, some of us actually talking about the second coming of Christ. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Well, it's not possible to completely deceive the elect. Not deceive them for a little while. They may follow you and deceive for a little bit, but not completely. They will return to the truth of the gospel. And just think of the millions that follow that pope. Millions. They're deceived. God allowed them to be deceived because they refused to believe the truth of the gospel and be saved. They refused to. So he allowed them to be deceived so that they would believe a lie. They would believe the pope. They would follow him. Worship him. And they'll lift their eyes in hell. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The second coming of the Son of Man. What a wonderful day. You know, don't worry about how everybody's going to see it. He's God. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. They'll have a feast. Immediately after the tribulation, that's as far as I wanted to read there. Verse 24 is the one that I wanted to point out comparing to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and that was, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That just tells you how much power this false prophet, son of perdition, this Antichrist, the Pope, has over those who are deceived by him. There's nothing greater than the book. This is the only truth in the world. As wonderful as John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress is, it is no comparison to this. None whatsoever. That was written by man. This was written by God. The Holy Spirit breathed these words. God breathed these words. Some actually written with his own finger. That's good stuff. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. I'm back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And for this cause, what cause? Even him whose coming is after working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. He's going to deceive them. Has deceived them. Been deceiving them for hundreds of years. Still deceives them. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Because they refused to believe the truth when it was preached to them. Therefore, he'll cause them to believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I don't care how much they hide themselves behind a desk or a pulpit or whatever the Roman Catholics use, or whatever the Baptists and all the others use that are not preaching the truth of God's Word, it is unrighteousness. Anything that is not according to the truth of the Scriptures is unrighteousness, and that's what he says here, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I don't care how religious it is. You people better wake up. You people who are Roman Catholics and you people who are going to these modern day churches and believing these lies, where they allow women to preach in their churches to men and teach men, where they allow sodomites to preach in their churches and sodomites to be members of their churches. You better wake up. You better wake up, all you people that hear this that are going to such churches. Hear what he says, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If it's not according to the Scriptures, not just chosen Scriptures, but all of them. Well, I tell you what, just go read, all you people, just go read Romans chapter 9. And see if your preacher agrees with Romans chapter 9. And if he don't, you fall into that category right there. And we'll start next Lord's Day, because we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Brethren, the Apostle Paul calls them. He wants the Thessalonians to know that he considers them to be brothers in Christ. Beloved of the Lord, he calls them. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You didn't get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you decided to believe, or because that God looked out into the future and saw that you was going to believe, and therefore He wrote your name down because of something that you did. That's not scriptural. Your preacher's preaching that lie, you idiot. And you're following one, a false prophet. You were chosen from the beginning, chosen to you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You believe the truth because He put it in you to believe. So we'll start there, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. And don't forget always to know that. Think.